Non-Monogamy Help is a podcast where your questions about open, non-monogamous or polyamorous relationships are answered. Our host, Lola Phoenix, will consult a licensed therapist with over a decade of experience to address your problems. Names and locations have been changed or censored to keep your questions anonymous. You're listening to Non-Monogamy Help, the podcast.
Welcome to episode 128 of the Non-Monogamy Help Podcast. I'm Lola Phoenix. Please send your questions to ask@nonmonogamyhelp.com and either be in the podcast or the column anonymously. You can read and listen to everything at nonmonogamyhelp.com. If you want to really be supportive, you can get everything in your inbox and subscribe to the newsletter by going to nonmonogamyhelp.com/email and follow the column and the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at nonmonogamyhelp until one of those implodes. If you would like to support what I do, I would really appreciate it. Even the lowest tier helps me pay for everything, and I'm super transparent about what everything costs. So if you want to do that, you can become a patron. Go to patreon.com/LolaPhoenix. I also think that I have a subscribe option now on Spotify. You can get the 101 article that I have read aloud if you subscribe, and there's also a subscribe option on the website now. So there's lots of different ways to support if you can. And if you join the podcast shout out tier, I will, with your permission, read your name at the end of the podcast. All right, let's get to this week's discussion question. If this is your first episode, then you should know that every week I read a discussion question that you can use to talk to your friends, partners, metamors, anyone you want to get to know a little bit better. I also answer it myself briefly to give you a little bit of context. This week's discussion question is, what was your biggest misconception about therapy? And this obviously applies if you've been to therapy. If you haven't, no worries. But I thought it would be an important question because I think for me, my biggest misconception, like I kind of was raised with the idea that, like, I'm, you know, I should just stiff upper lip it, get over it, you know, suck it up. So already I kind of had the idea that, like, telling people about my feelings wasn't a good thing to do. And then I thought, I weirdly had this kind of like combination thought that either I was so crazy that if I went to a therapist, I'd be locked up immediately into a psych ward, or that I was not crazy enough, and then if I went to a therapist, they would laugh me out of the office. So it was very weird, kind of like, oh, I'm either too crazy or not crazy enough. And a friend of mine going to therapy, I think, inspired me to go to therapy. And yeah, it's been one of the best decisions that I've ever made. And I think that everyone should try it. Like, even if you don't think that your problems are that big of a deal, or that, you know, if you have this kind of self-judgy stuff that I had, where you're like, oh, just get over it, blah, blah, blah. I think that there's a lot, especially within the society that we live in, where we're kind of encouraged to, like, suppress all of our emotions. And I think I'm saying his name right. Gabor Mate talks about this a lot, and I think that it's really true. Like, we're very much encouraged to suppress our emotions. And you know, all of this stuff passes down. It's not necessarily about having like a tragic childhood. It's also about like things pass down, and we don't always know how to process things. And therapy can really help with that. So I think that everyone should try it, not only because of the BetterHelp thing, but also because that's one of the reasons why I chose that as one of the podcast sponsors, is because I think it's really important actually to have someone to talk through things with. And friends can't always support, like, be therapists, and the gym is not therapy. I love the gym. It's not therapy. It drives me nuts when people say that. Anyways, our discussion question is this week, what was your biggest misconception about therapy? Let's get to this week's question. How do you get over or stop jealousy feelings? I have started seeing someone. They are already in a non-monogamous relationship that they started. When the one I like started seeing me, and it's been crazy so far, mainly because I moved in with them. I was homeless at the time, and they offered, and I said yes. Sadly, at times I'm crying due to the quote-unquote grieving of not having an experience alone with her. I also get paranoid when she goes into the bedroom where the partner sleeps and start either imagining them having sex or hearing it and then feeling horrible things. I want to understand non-monogamy more, or maybe accept that I'm not meant for this, but I have feelings for one of them, and I feel I've made good friends too. I feel I need more tools on how to block or control my emotions and thoughts. Before Before we get to this week's answer, of course, I'm going to remind you of this episode's sponsor, BetterHelp. Quite often, I, just like I just did, said that people should get therapy and that it's really important. And you can always find a polyamory-friendly or understanding therapist locally or in your area or within your budget. BetterHelp allows you to find therapists online that you can send messages to at any time of the day, and you can switch up therapists if it doesn't work for you. It's a lot easier for a lot of people, and they also do offer some financial aid. You can get 10% off your first month by using the promo code NonMonogamyHelp at checkout or going to betterhelp.com/NonMonogamyHelp. Let's get to this week's answer. So the first concern that I have here is that already the situation, even if you were all just friends, the situation is quite an imbalanced power dynamic. So you were homeless at the time and they offered you a place to stay. And I'm really hoping that you have your own room and that you're able to contribute now towards rent and expenses and things like that. Because it's not necessarily a great situation to begin a relationship on where you're dependent upon the other person. And I know that always can't be helped. And I'm not trying to like say that's a horrible thing. And obviously, like, there's lots of reasons why you would say yes in this situation to being in this situation. But it's not the best way to start a relationship because it is a extremely imbalanced power dynamic. Adding that to the fact that, you know, you're dating someone who's dating someone else and you're all living together. And we had this actually quite similar situation in the podcast that I just recorded, would be a few weeks ago, called Living with Partners. And you should definitely check that out when it comes out. But, or it's already come out by the time I've said this, but yes, you will hear it later on. Anyway, the point is that it's not generally a great situation to begin with when you're moving in with a partner and their other partner, and then that's not an addressed situation. So I think that that is something that needs to also be acknowledged. And I'm hoping that your partner, and in this case, your friend, like I assume you've made friends with your metamour or your partner's partner, I hope they're helping you pursue your own independence in whatever way possible. If that means helping you find a job or like supporting you in that. If you're in a situation where somebody is like super happy to quote unquote take care of you, as much as that may be a relief and a good thing in some situations, I do think sometimes that can lead to not so great places because then you don't have any other choice. But, you know, you feel compelled to agree to situations that you normally wouldn't agree to because you don't have the power to say no. You don't have the power to leave. You don't have the power to get out. And I don't necessarily think that's a good situation. So as much as possible, please make sure that you're doing whatever you can to pursue your own independent situation. I'm not saying that you can't live with them, but make sure that that is something that's happening because it's not a great situation to be in, to be dependent upon other adults who may or may not, like, I don't know these people, but it's not a good situation. It's also not a great power dynamic for the situation. The other thing I would say is that your approach to this, like, you can't block your emotions. You can't control your emotions or thoughts. Like, that's not something that you can always control. What you do is you experience emotions, you allow yourself to have them, you sit with them, and then you will find that they won't stay for very long. Generally, when people try to block their emotions or put off their emotions or, you know, not feel their emotions, that tends to create more problems than it actually helps with. And it's understandable why you wouldn't want to feel them, but you can't block your emotions. So you are going to, even if you were like not in a situation where you were homeless and you just agreed to live with them, even if you were in a situation where you'd been in a polyamorous relationship before, you might still have a lot of sadness about not having time alone. And I don't know why you've not had time alone with your partner. You might still experience paranoia or fear when your partner is with somebody else. And also hearing them have sex, I mean, that's not always the best feeling. So you're going to have these feelings regardless of the situation, and there isn't any secret to blocking them. And you don't want to block them either, because sometimes your emotions are important signals and cues as to things that are going on. There are a few things with this situation that I could address, but the first thing that I want to understand from you, or that I think you should understand about yourself, you know, you want to know if you are interested in non-monogamy. And the difficult thing about this situation is that you have every reason to go along with this situation, even if you don't want non-monogamy, because of your living situation and because of the way it is. So that's one aspect of it that isn't great. But the other thing that you can do is first ask yourself, can you date someone monogamously who has a time-intensive career who will not spend a good majority of their time with you? Because the kind of underlying truth of most, regardless of how, you know, you set them up hierarchical, non-hierarchical, or whatever kind of relationship you have in polyamory, generally you're agreeing to a situation where the person that you're with, or any person that you're with, is not going to spend as much time with you as you might expect in a monogamous relationship. So if you're somebody who can't even monogamously, it doesn't even monogamously want to date somebody who won't be able to spend as much time with you as you might normally expect in a monogamous relationship, then non-monogamy may not be for you, because on a basic level, without even getting into jealousy or any other emotions, your partner will be spending time with other people. And if that's not something, if you want more time with them and you want the typical amount of time which you might get in a monogamous relationship, then you aren't going to be happy within non-monogamy, because on a basic level, you won't have what you need, which is more time. And then I feel like in terms of exploring, if that's fine, if you're like, they don't have to spend all their time with me, maybe explore, like, what is the personal benefit that you can get out of non-monogamy? Do you have an interest in having multiple romantic relationships with more than one person? Do you have an interest in having multiple sexual relationships? What is it about non-monogamy that you can see yourself in? Can you see yourself in it? Is there an ideal polyamorous situation that you can see yourself in? So think about things like that. If you really struggle, if the only thing that is like, oh, I just want a roof over my head and to date this person, then maybe it's actually not about non-monogamy. So you really need to think about, like, what is the actual personal benefit that you would get out of it? Like, do you have an interest in having multiple romantic relationships? And then I think once you've answered some of those questions, then maybe you can have an idea of whether or not this is for you. Again, the specific issues that I see in this situation, one is the power imbalance, which really needs to be addressed. I very, very much hope that this person that you're dating is encouraging you and wanting you to have your own independence in any kind of situation, because if you are dependent upon both of them for lodgings and food, that's not a great situation to begin any kind of relationship with, monogamous or otherwise. And the other aspect is, like, you've not had any time alone with this person, and that needs to be addressed. And again, as the same with episode 126, there are a lot of times when people live together as couples, and when they've lived together for a long time, or if they've gotten used to it, sometimes they just slip back into old habits and they don't think about intentionally scheduling time. So asking and bringing up, like, hey, I feel like we aren't having our own alone time and I would like to schedule that. That is something that you can do. And you're going to experience a paranoia and a fear when your partner spends time with the other partner, because they've been together for longer and you don't have a relationship with this person that is similar, and you're still building that relationship and you're still building that trust. So you're going to have those feelings. And I think that, you know, you can navigate situations where if they want to have sex and they want to make noise, similar to roommates, like, not everyone wants to hear their roommates having sex either. So, like, navigate that as you would a typical romantic or typical non-romantic adult relationship and say, can you give me a warning? Maybe you can put some music on. Maybe I can put some headphones on. Like, there's lots of different reasons why you might not want to hear that don't necessarily have anything to do with feelings or jealousy. So there are a couple of things that you can kind of negotiate with and address, but I think that if you are dependent upon both of these people for your living situation, for buying food, for all of this kind of stuff, it's going to be very difficult for you to feel like you can negotiate this kind of stuff, even if they haven't necessarily threatened to kick you out or anything, because automatically the power imbalance is already set in a specific way that is not helpful and isn't conducive towards asking for things and setting your own kind of boundaries and things like that. Another thing is, do you have your own individual space in this house? Are you crashing on the couch? I just feel like if you're crashing on the couch right now and you're reliant on them for rent and food, I really don't know is that you need to worry about right now, like, whether or not non-monogamy is for you or not. I think you need to prioritize getting steady income in the best way you can, like, getting, like, I just think that dating right now maybe you should take a pause on it. Maybe you should be like, look, I don't know if non-monogamy is for me. Can we take a pause on this? And then we'll get back to this when I'm on my feet. Because I just feel like trying to navigate this, the situations of being financially dependent or even in such a way dependent upon two other adults, and then also trying to negotiate a relationship in this situation is a little bit tricky. And it may be best for you to get as much independence as you can get before trying to figure out if this is necessarily for you. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, to sum up, in general, like, it's an imbalanced power dynamic, not the best situation to be in. If it's so imbalanced that you don't even have your own room or your own space, you're not paying rent, you're not buying your own food, I genuinely think that it might be better to pause this relationship and focus on getting your own independence before you start trying to figure out if this, because there's already a lot of this that I addressed in 126, which is already an issue that would be difficult even if you didn't have this. So please try to your best to kind of pursue your own independence first. Secondly, you can't block your emotions. You're not a Vulcan. You're not going to be able to stop having bad feelings, but you can mitigate that by asking for your own time with this person, by figuring out the way polyamory works in their life and how you fit into it. And asking yourself some of the questions that I put forward about whether or not non-monogamy is really for you by kind of figuring out if you have a personal interest in this or if it's just something that you're doing so that you can have a roof over your head, because that's not ideally the best situation possible. So yeah, I hope that helps and good luck. Thank you for listening to episode 128 of the Non-Monogamy Help Podcast. If you want to be awesome, you can become a patron. Donating at the podcast support tier means that your name, with your permission, of course, will be read at the end of the podcast. This week's current patrons are Laura Boylan, Chris Albury Jones, Juke, Nikki Jones, James Wartell, Justin Calm, and Aaliyah. If for whatever reason you can't become a patron, because I totally understand, one thing you can do other than joining the email list, because social media is designed for selling ads, and so they're going to limit my reach wherever possible. If you join the email list, then my emails will get in your inbox once a week. You'll get the columns in the podcast right away. You can do that by going to nonmonogamyhelp.com/email. And then another thing you can do is find the podcast on iTunes and Spotify and rate and review it. I'd really appreciate it if you can spend just 2 seconds doing that. And if you write a review, and you are, especially if you're not in the US or the UK, if you can let me know that you've written an interview, I'd super appreciate it, but no worries. Otherwise, thank you all so much for listening. Thanks for this week. You're going to get a new column in a week, next Friday, and another episode in a fortnight. Thank you again for listening. You've been listening to Non-Monogamy Help. The podcast music was done by Chris Albury Jones at albury-jones.com. Thank you again for listening.